Let us just go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We do ask and receive this evening that there's clarity as God's word is taught. There's no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy and with precision. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified. And Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. If you're with the Bibles, which I believe you should be with, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, now concerning spiritual gifts. You know, we started this series in the month of March, and we were able to pay attention to power gifts over the weekend, and we're just going back to the utterance gifts. Yeah? So it says, now concerning spiritual gifts. The word, if you have a good Bible, you realize that the word gift is in italics. So it means that it's ideally, you can read that verse without the word gift. So now concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Brethren, I will not have you ignorant concerning spirituals. He says, ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Right? There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, in our previous teachings, we're able to pay attention to those words, diversities, differences, in that context. And we said they are the same Greek word. Yeah, the same word diversity is the same word in the Greek manuscript, which is what you call differences. Yeah, the same word. But we saw that we need to pay attention to what Paul was paying attention to, which is actually concerning the same Spirit. So from verse 1, it says, now concerning. The word there concerning is the word peri, and it means pertaining or with respect to or concerning the thing. So now concerning spirituals really means now concerning or pertaining the things that deal with the Spirit or with respect to spirituals. Yeah, spirituals is the Greek word pneumatikos in the Greek. We looked at that already. And it's a word that means the things of the Spirit. So now with respect to the things of the Spirit, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, the same Lord. So we saw that Paul was pointing our attention to the unique fact, or to the fact that there are different expressions that we can give to the ability of the Spirit in us. Yeah, he now says that in verse 7, but the manifestation is given to every believer to profit with her. Yeah, so from verse 1, he already told us that I would not have you to be ignorant. We saw that the word ignorance is a word that implies refusal to recognize knowledge or willful ignorance. Yeah, or to be in the dark concerning a matter, a subject matter. Yeah, so he now says that in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every believer to profit with her. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, we looked at our last teaching on Wednesday, that when he says for to one, it is not a sentence or a phrase that speaks about different people that the Spirit of God gives the gifts to. He has already told us in verse 7 that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every believer. So the Spirit is not the one that sees or selects the believers that manifest the things of the Spirit. Yeah, so we saw that word there, for to one, is the same word used in Ephesians chapter 4 when it says, and he gave some apostles, and that word there is the word certainly, truly, or indeed. So indeed is given by the Spirit, or certainly is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. Another thing given by the Spirit, or another gift of the Spirit, is word of wisdom. Another gift. So when it says to another word of knowledge, it's not saying that to one man he gives word of wisdom and to another man he gives word of knowledge. No, he already told us in verse 4, 5, and 6 that the diversities and differences of administration and operations, they are all caused and found in the same Spirit. Hallelujah. So when it says, for to one is given, it is certainly the Spirit of, certainly there's a gift called the Spirit of wisdom, that is of the Spirit. Another gift is the word of knowledge. Another gift is faith by the same Spirit. Yeah, so it says to another the working of miracles, another prophecy, another discerning of spirit, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and another the interpretation of tongues. So we looked at this last week and Wednesday, and we're able to categorize these 9 gifts into 3 categories. Yeah, we categorize these 9 gifts into 3 categories. One is what we call the utterance gifts. Secondly, we call the power gifts. And thirdly, we call the revelations gifts. Yeah, the utterance gifts are gifts that have to do with, you know, spoken or spoken words or speaking generally. So that's what you call the tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. And for this series, we are paying attention to the utterance gifts. However, over the weekend, we paid attention to the power gifts. What are the power gifts? He says to one, another is given the gift of healing, to another the working of miracles and gift of faith. So those are power gifts. Yeah, so the power gifts are the gifts that what I express, or they are to be expressed through believers. What you now see as tangible signs and wonders, what you call miracles. Yeah, so we've paid attention throughout the Bible seminar over the weekend on power gifts. Now we are paying attention to utterance gifts. Yeah, the utterance gifts includes tongues, interpretation, prophecy. What are utterance gifts? That which we utter with our mouths. Then we have the revelational gifts, or the revelation gifts. Yeah, that is a gift that enables the saint to reveal specific knowledge about people that you might not have been told in the physical, or you might not have been told by anybody, but by the Spirit. So revelational gifts reveal what you call the word of knowledge that should ideally lead to the word of wisdom. Then discerning of spirits. Yeah, and we saw that word of knowledge is something that, you know, knowing about the present backwards, and word of wisdom is, you know, giving instructions about the present forward. Yeah, things that will happen, or things, or instructions, basically. So word of wisdom are more of instructions. Word of knowledge are more of revealing facts, you know, about certain things, you know, about certain people, you know, or things that have happened in the past. So it means that every believer can operate in all the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Every single believer. Every single believer. Look at verse 11. All these worketh that one and the self same Spirit. So all these gifts, they are all of the one, or all of that one and that self same Spirit, dividing to every man as he wills. We looked at that in our last 2 teachings, the last teaching, that when it says dividing to every man severally as he wills, the man that is to will is the believer. So it's not saying that the Spirit chooses who to divide the gifts to. No. It is dividing to every man as the man wills. Then it goes on talking about, for as the body is one and have many members and all of those. Yeah. So we're going to pay attention to the utterance gifts in this teaching and the next few weeks, and particularly today we'll pay attention to tongues. Yeah, turn with me to Mark's Gospel 16. Look at Mark's Gospel chapter 16. Mark's Gospel 16, verse 15. Mark's Gospel chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, that is Jesus, it is, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Yeah. During the Bible seminar, we paid attention to what preaching the gospel means. Publicly proclaim that good news. Yeah. Preach the gospel to herald the good news of the resurrection. So he says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the nations and all the world and preach the gospel. Yeah. He that believeth that he is baptized shall be saved. So believing is to be baptized in the context of Mark 16:16. Yeah. We did a series on baptism and water baptism. Yeah, so, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Why do you suppose he didn't say, he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned? No, because the believing and baptizing in verse 16 really speaks about believing. So there is a one that believes and there's another who doesn't believe when the gospel is preached. Yeah, so to who that believes, see what it says in verse 17, and this sign shall follow them that believe. So there are signs that should follow them that believe. We paid attention to signs over the Bible seminar, and we say that they are indicators that point to the reality. They are indicators, or they are symbols, or signs are really those things that point to the reality. So we explain that all miracles in scriptures, all miracles done by Jesus, points to the miracle of resurrection. Yeah, I'll say that again. All miracles point to the miracle. T-H-E makes it a definite miracle. So the miracle of the resurrection is a definite miracle. Every other miracle, eyesight open, ears open, you know, lame walk, they all point, they are signs that point to the word new birth, to the miracle of resurrection. So Jesus says, and this sign, so there are signs that follow those who believe. And we said that signs are those which point to things ahead or point to that which has happened. So signs are basically pointers to events that will happen or events that have happened. Signs are pointers to events that should be believed and events that have been or that has been believed. So Jesus says, and this sign shall follow them. In my name they shall cast out devils. So casting out of devils is a sign that points to the resurrection. So in my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. Yeah, look at that verse again. In my name they shall cast out devils, that is the first sign that follows. They shall speak with new tongues, that is the second sign that follows. So in the entire four gospels, that is the only verse where you see the word tongues. Yeah, that's the only verse, the only mention of tongues in the entire four gospels. So, Jesus says something particular about tongues by Mark's rendition. He says, they shall speak with new tongues. So, Jesus says that tongues is something that will be spoken by them that believe. So, it means that every man who has heard the gospel and believes the gospel can speak in tongues, can cast out devils. He says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So, every man, no matter who you are, yeah, that has believed the gospel, you are one who has an enablement to speak with new tongues. Yeah, so it is as you will, not as the Spirit wants to. Why? Because the fullness of the Spirit and the things of the Spirit have been received upon believing the gospel. See it again, verse 17. He says, he that believes and this sign shall follow them. So this sign shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with tongues. They shall cast out devils. So tongues fundamentally is something that is gotten or that a saint receives upon the new birth. So, we want to pay attention to tongues in today's teaching and possibly on Sunday. And now, let's see a narration of what tongues began to look like from the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. We'll be looking at tongues and subsequently interpretation, you know, and see what really tongues and interpretation really means, you know. Fundamentally, anyone who can speak in tongues can operate in the remaining 8 gifts of the Spirit. We said something in our last week's teaching that the reason why you see a lot of people do not go more than tongues is because they lack basic knowledge about tongues and what the apostles or what scripture teaches about it. Yeah, so, you know, the truth is that you can be ignorant about that which you have already received. You can be ignorant about that which you already have. Yeah, so you see some saints say that, oh, they're trying to wait for God, for the Spirit of God to move them to speak. It is the same that, look at Acts 2. Look at Acts 2, verse 1. Look at Acts 2, verse 1. He says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in or with one accord in one place. In one accord, in one place, with one accord, in one place. They were all together in one place, one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of the rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, they were all together in one place, and there came a sound from heaven. Now, the question is, that sound from heaven, is it really literal sound from the sky? Is it a rushing mighty wind that came into the room? Is it, and it filled all the house where they were sitting? Now, let's find out something. How many people were possibly with one accord in one place? Backtrack to Acts chapter 1, verse 14, quickly. Yeah, Acts chapter 1. Verse 14. Now, see verse 8 first. It says, ye shall receive power, Acts 1:8, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Yeah, it now says, verse 14, these all continued with one accord. Who are these that all continued? Look at verse 13. And when they were coming, they went up into the upper room where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, yeah, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealot, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman. So the apostles, who we call the disciples, now continue with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number, now, he said, now, what did he stand up to say? He says, men and brethren, the scriptures must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas. So Judas, upon betrayal, David as an utterer spoke about what will happen to one who will betray. He says, for he was numbered with us, verse 17, and he obtained part of the ministry. Now, this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity. That's the figure of speak me, Tony, me. Yeah, Judas was dead, and people used the money that they had paid him to buy a field in his name, so to say. Yeah, so, but the point is this. In verse 15, what did Peter really stand up to say? Verse 16, men and brethren. But Luke gives us an important information in brackets. It says, the number of the names together were about 120. So there were 120 in the upper room that what continued with one accord and in prayer and supplication. So go to Acts 2. So go to Acts 2. Go to the book of Acts chapter 2. So you see, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. They were all with one accord in one place. Who were the day that were all in one accord? Into bracket, the number of them all is 120 people. So there were 120 people on the day of Pentecost when it fully came that were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of the rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house wherein they were sitting. Hallelujah. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let me ask you a question. How many of them were filled with the Holy Ghost? 120 of them in the room. How many of them began to speak with tongues? 120 of them in the room. In the real sense, filled with the Holy Ghost is equal to they began to speak. Yeah, we'll pay attention to that in days to come, which we've done in our previous teachings. Yeah, filled with the Holy Ghost is a mode of writing in the book of Acts, you know, that speaks about an activity that is done and seen by others. See, the difference between full of the Holy Ghost and filled with the Holy Ghost. Every man on earth that has believed the gospel is full of the Holy Ghost, but not every man is filled with the Holy Ghost. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is an action that is seen by others. So, what does being filled with the Holy Ghost in verse 4 mean? It means they began to speak with other tongues. So, you see people speak with tongues as believers, and you say what? They are filled with the Holy Ghost. So, you say this, these are men who are full of the Holy Ghost that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Did you get that? Yeah? Did you get that? Yeah, they began to speak with tongues is equal to they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, they began to speak in tongues means they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So filled with the Holy Ghost is an action. So you see, it's from this narrative that a lot of people come up with the conversation about and there's something called the spirit within and the spirit upon. Really, the spirit within and spirit upon is the same spirit. So that's why you see some people say that, oh, they have the spirit within, but the reason why they don't speak in tongues is because they are waiting for the spirit upon. The spirit upon only gets upon the believer when the believer wills to take from the spirit within and put upon. Yeah, so you don't take from the spirit and you see like a dove on your head. Yeah, the spirit within is the spirit you've received upon the new birth. The spirit upon is a demonstration that is seen by the physical eyes of others. Are we together? Let me say that again. Yeah, the spirit within is the spirit that you've received upon birth. Yeah, so once a man believes the gospel, he has received the spirit within himself. The Spirit of God now lives in him forever. But the moment he speaks in tongues, you now say he is filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So the Spirit, so filled with the Holy Ghost really means the Spirit upon. So when you see in scriptures, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon, it means that there was an utterance. So when you see the dove or the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove, it is that there was an utterance. So be filled with the Holy Ghost is equal to utterance, is equal to what? Spirit upon. So as saints, because we are full of the Spirit within, yeah, we are the ones that are responsible. Look at 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that as he wills, as the saint wills. So the saint is the one that is to will, and in his willingness, what does he do? He takes from the Spirit within and puts upon. In the real sense, it just means that there is a manifestation of the Spirit that is seen by others. Are we together? I hope we're not lost. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That is, yeah, the word there and is the word kai. Yeah, the word that usually used to explain a lot of times what was said before. Yeah, that word there and doesn't always mean a conjunction that speaks about two different things or two different people. For instance, if I say speaking in tongues and word of knowledge, speaking in tongues is not word of knowledge. So speaking, I cannot say speaking in tongues that is word of knowledge. No. There are two different manifestations of the Spirit. But when I say filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, it is what? Filled with the Holy Ghost that is began to speak with tongues. When I say what? The Spirit upon and speaking in tongues, it is the Spirit upon that is seen in speaking in tongues. When I say filled with the Holy Ghost and word of knowledge, it can be filled with the Holy Ghost that is word of knowledge as an expression. Okay, so they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak with other tongues. Now let's pay attention to a few things in that verse. Yeah, as the Spirit gave them, you see why we call it utterance gift? Yeah, the Spirit gave them utterance. It wasn't the Spirit speaking for them. Hello, the Spirit gave utterance, but it wasn't the Spirit speaking for them. They spoke by God because they willed. Yeah, so for you to speak in tongues, you have to will. Yeah, you speak in tongues by willing. Yeah, I will speak in tongues. I will speak in tongues. Think about it this way. See, when you're in your bedroom and you want to go and drink water, you are the one that will will in your heart and tell yourself, I will go to the fridge and take a bottle of water. It is your willingness. Yeah, it is your willingness. It is your willingness. So, speaking in tongues is something that a man who has received the gospel is already, or who has received the gospel, just gives expression to tongues. Hallelujah. So he says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak with other tongues. Now, the word there, other, before tongues, is the Greek word that is heteros. If you have remembered very well, when I've explained to you, you know, in scripture, when I was talking about how, when John says, and he shall give us another comforter. And I must have said something about how another comforter is a word that actually not speaks of a different kind or that which is of the same. And I said something about allos and heteros. Yeah, so allos is something that which is of the same. Heteros is that which is of another. Altogether, something that is different. So a different type of language. So guess it. What they were speaking in Acts chapter 2 verse 4 is a different type of language. When you see with other tongues, it is a different type of language. It means that it was a language that was understood by the people who were not filled with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't a language that they could translate. It wasn't a language that they could pinpoint and say, this is this language. But now remember, if you read the book of Acts 2 very well, you realize that people were hearing their languages. Yeah, why did suppose people were hearing their languages? Why the disciples were speaking in tongues? It is that there was something called tongues and interpretation in Acts 2. Amen, 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 amen. Yeah, we'll pay attention to that in this series. Just follow attentively. Yeah, go back to Mark 6. Go back to Mark 16. Go back to Mark 16 quickly. Remember, what happened in Acts 2:4? They began to speak with other tongues. Why do you suppose they began to speak with other tongues? Mark 16 tells you something. Look at Mark 16. Mark 16, 17. This sign shall follow them that believe. What is the sign, or what are the signs that shall follow? My name upon my... Yeah? They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Dear saints, why do you suppose that they spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 2, verse 4? It is because they were believers. They were believers. Now, let's pay attention to something. They shall speak with new tongues. The word they knew before tongues is the Greek word that actually means kainos. The word there, you see that word there? That word new before tongues is the Greek word that means kainos. It's a Greek word that means kainos. Yeah, and it's a word that actually deals with, yeah, so really, a lot of times, the word usually used to point to the subject of discourse. Yeah? I'll say it again. It's a word usually used to point to the subject of discourse, or what is being spoken about. Let's see a few examples. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Look at that quickly. Is a word usually used to point to the subject of discourse, subject of discussion. Yeah, that's really what I said. Look at Acts, look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. I mean, we know that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That word there, new before creature, is the word kainos. What is the word kainos? A word usually used to point to the subject of discourse. What is the subject of discourse in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Creature. So, new creature. A new creature. Who is a new creature? A new creature is that species that has never existed before. The new creation, the new creature, all things have become new. What you call the new man. Look at Galatians 6:15. Galatians chapter 6 verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor circumcision, but a new creature. Ephesians 2:15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new kainos man. One new kainos man. One new man is one kainos man. Yeah. So making, look at same Ephesians 4:24 quickly. 4:24. And that ye put on the new man, kainos man. So that is the same word, kainos, that point, you know, like I said, a word that points to the subject of discourse. So by the time you look at a new man in verse 24, the discussion is speaking about what? A particular man, or speaking about a type of man. Are we together? So we've seen new man, we've seen new creature, new creation. So a species that never existed. Now remember, in Acts 2, we said other tongues. So what Mark called new tongues, kainos, is what Luke now shows us in Acts chapter 2 and called it other tongues. From the two explanations we've given, it means that new tongues and other tongues does not imply an evolution of an already existing language. Yeah, from these two words, new tongues and other tongues, which by extension is what you call atheros glossia. Yeah, I just gave us a word for tongues. The Greek word for tongues is glossa. Yeah, glossa, yeah, really. Yeah, G-L-O-S-S-A. Yeah, tongues, yeah. So now, let me ask you a question. When it says they spoke in other tongues, the tongues there, is it the tongue in your mouth or is speaking about something that is said? Yeah, it should be speaking about something that is said. When you became born again, your tongue did not change. Yeah, but there is a faculty that has been initiated in your body. There's a faculty that has been added to your faculty. Yeah, that is the faculty of the new birth or the new spirit or the spirit of God that is now in you. So Mark calls it, if you believe, you shall speak with new tongues. Luke now tells us that after they believed, they spoke with other tongues. So you can actually interchange them. But the two definitions really show us that new tongues and other tongues does not imply an evolution or an amendment to an already existing language. Neither is it used for a language that is learned. So tongues is not a language that is learned. Yeah, you don't say after me, makaka, say after me, makaka, say after me, poroko, poroko, poroko. No. Tongues is not a language that you say after me. Tongue is a faculty that is initiated and ignited upon the new birth. Are we together? Yeah, so he says, with new tongues, if you believe, you shall speak with new tongues. In Acts chapter 2, what did they speak in? They spoke with new tongues. Guess what? See something. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, where we read earlier today, they were with one accord in one place praying. What do you suppose they were praying in? They were not praying in tongues. Yeah, in Acts chapter 2, what do you suppose they were praying in? They were praying with other tongues. They were praying with new tongues. So tongues in the for the believer is not an evolution of an already existing language. Tongues is not a language learned. It is a reality for the new creature. So it means that tongues is for and only spoken by believers. I'll say that again. Tongues can only be spoken by believers, and it is for only believers. Yeah, forget about people that joke about it and cry about it. Yeah, you know, you hear some people say that it's like all the tongues all of us are speaking is fake. The simple question: have you ever heard real tongues? A man who says that all the tongues we sing is fake, he just goes as far to show that there's an error in his reasoning. No, it's not far-fetched. Yeah, because for you to say that what we speak is fake, it means you must have heard the original one. Where did you hear the original one? And who put in you a faculty to validate the original one? You see, there's a problem somewhere. So he says that he that believes will speak with new tongues. He says, and they began to speak in other tongues. So tongues is only for the believer. So let me tell you something. A man who is not a believer can say something that sounds like tongues, but it is not tongues. Why? Because his faculty is not open enough to speak that tongues which is of God. Are we together? Let me say it again. Tongues is only for he that believeth. Tongues is only for the believer. Yet, tongue is only for the believer. Tongue is only spoken by. So, if you see a believer or you see an unbeliever who sees or speaks something that sounds like tongues, yeah, no matter what you call it, no matter how serious he is paying rubbish. Yeah, he's saying rubbish. So, tongues is what is a part of the signs, yeah, part of the signs that Jesus says will follow them that believe. So we see new tongues, Mark 16, I'm emphasizing it again. In Acts 2, we see what other tongues. So kainos tongues, kainos glossa is equal to what? The etheros glossa, new tongues, other tongues. Never forget, tongues is only for the believer. Tongues is only, see, anybody can say rubbish. In fact, everybody before they started talking was born to say rubbish. When you were a baby, you were saying rubbish. Yeah, that you were saying rubbish doesn't mean it was tongues. Yeah, so a man who is grown can say rubbish and he thinks his tongues with his eyes closed, but he's saying rubbish. Tongues is only for the believer. Altogether, go back to Acts 2 quickly. Acts chapter 2. I hope we're learning something. Yeah, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with new tongues. Did I do justice to that? Oh, yes, I possibly did. How did I do that? I used the promise in Mark chapter 16 to replace the new with other tongues. Let's now look at something. Let's read further. Look at verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jew devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. Never forget what was happening. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. So the day of Pentecost was a ceremony celebrated by the Jew that was initiated in Exodus by Moses. Yeah, so look at verse 6 again. Now, when the noise was noised abroad, the multitude came together and they were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Why do you suppose they heard them speak in his own language? It is because what? There were two gifts of spirit in operation there. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. Remember, ideally when you see Jewish festival, it means that most likely everybody that comes for that meeting is someone that understands Hebrew. It's not far-fetched, right? And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these we speak Galileans? Verse 8, and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? What is our own tongue? It means that human language. So it means that they were hearing their own tongue, their native language, from those 120 people that were what? In one accord, in one place. In the real sense, why do you suppose? Because it wasn't tongue. So tongues is not a modified Hebrew language. No. Tongues is a designated language that is only designated to the man who believes the gospel, the man who has experienced the new birth. So, and how come? The question, how come we hear every man in our own tongues wherein we are born? In verse 9, Luke now tells us, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia in Egypt and a part of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jew and proselytes, yeah, converted Jew, yeah. Crete and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Now, guess what? All these nations and cities that were mentioned in verse 9 and 10, it means that all the people that were living in those environments came to Jerusalem, to Judea, to do what? To partake of the day of Pentecost. Are we together? So people from so-called different cities came together to be partakers of what? Verse 1 tells you what? When the day of Pentecost was fully come. So day of Pentecost was a ceremony that was done where people leave their geographic location and come and celebrate, most likely in Judea, in Jerusalem. Yeah? All together. All together. Now, look at Acts 11. What did they hear them say? He says, we hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So the interpretation they heard from what was happening in Acts chapter 2 verse 4, when they spoke with new tongues, had to do with speaking about the wonderful works of God. So tongue is not a modified Jewish language. Tongue is not modified Latin. Tongues is a language that is designated different from every other and any other kind of language on the planet Earth. Yeah, can it sound like Hebrew? It could possibly sound like Yoruba, Igbo, Igbo, Hausa, English, whatever. Yeah, yeah. But tongues is that thing that is only, or it is fully and solely designated for the believer. Look at Acts 10. Let's see a few examples in Acts 10 44. Look at Acts 10 44. Look at Acts 10, 44. He says, while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. See, the Holy Ghost fell, what does it really mean? It's a figure of speech that, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that the Gentiles also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. What is poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost? It means that they were filled with the Spirit. What is filled with the Spirit? It means the Spirit upon. What is Spirit upon? It means a physical and tangible manifestation that can be seen and recorded by the eyes of men. So what really happened in Acts chapter 10, verse 45 and 45 is that as why Peter spoke, they believed the gospel, they received the fullness of the Spirit, and there was now something called the Spirit upon. How do you know? Look at verse 46. It says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Yeah, now, let me help you say something. If you see, for he heard them speak with tongues, and for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That is similar to Acts chapter 2, verse 4 and verse 11. Are we here? Look at it. They heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. So it means that the interpretation of their tongues actually was about magnifying God. That is praising God. Go back to Acts 2. They heard them speak in tongues, that is, they magnified God. Look at Acts 2. Look at Acts 2 quickly. Acts 2, 4. What did they do in Acts 2, 4? They spoke with new tongues. What happened in verse 11? The people were hearing them speak the wonderful works of God. So, speaking in tongues and speaking the wonderful works of God was happening in Acts chapter 2, verse 4 and 11. The same Luke now shows us in Acts chapter 10, verse 44 to 46. They were what? Speaking in tongues and what? Magnifying God. So, we'll keep seeing tongues in the book of Acts, but we did not see, or we will not see, the explanation of tongues in the book of Acts. Yeah? I've said that again. You see tongues primarily in the book of Acts, expressed by the disciples and apostles. However, the explanation of tongues will not be found, or is not found, in the book of Acts. You see, Luke tells us in verse 4, he says, they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Yeah, why do you suppose we see it that way? It is because the book of Acts is a descriptive book. Yeah, it's a descriptive book. Yeah, see, the reason why we now know, in fact, I went to almost the end of our teaching. The reason why we know that there was tongues and interpretation is because we have seen Paul explain something called interpretation of tongues as part of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So, after years, teachings increased, interpretation became known properly and well explained in the epistles. All together, interpretation now became well known and explained in the epistles, Colossians, Ephesians, Corinthians. Yeah, but the book of Acts is an eyewitness account. So, the book of Acts, Luke gives us a journalistic perspective to what happened to the early church. So, it would mean that as saints, we cannot afford to build doctrine based on activities. Are we together? We cannot build doctrine from the book of Acts. We would have to build doctrine from the epistles. By extension, the Old Testament books, what we call the Word of God, during our Bible seminar. Are we together? So the book of Acts is an eyewitness account book. Yeah, so that's why you see figures of speech like what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why you see figures of speech like what? The Holy Ghost fell. It is an action. So, because it's a descriptive book, it simply means that actions would have to be seen, or actions would have to be recorded as they were seen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I hope we're following this evening. I hope we're learning something. Go to Acts 19:6. Let me show you something again. Remember, he that believeth shall speak with new tongues. Yeah? And what is the word new? That which is different, or that which is distinct to the new creature. Yeah, to the new creation. Yeah, so it is only by the Spirit of God we speak. It is only because we have the Spirit of God, by extension, because we believe, that we speak in with tongues. Look at Acts 19, verse 6. Look at what happened in Acts 19, verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesied. They prophesied. Now let me give you an ojoro here. Yeah, what is the prophesy? It means that what they spoke with tongues and gave interpretation to tongues, which is now what you see as prophecy. How do we know this? We're going to explain that in this series. Remember, we're dealing solely with utterance gifts. Yeah, how do we know that prophecy is actually tongues plus interpretation? Because Paul has now taught us that in the book of 1 Corinthians. So we've seen the explanation of what happened in the episodes. So it means that you can lay hands upon people and they begin speaking tongues. Hallelujah. When Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. They began to speak with tongues and they prophesied. Yeah, that's book of Acts. So the book of Acts has a lot of descriptions, but not explanations. You see, book of Acts just tells us tongues prophesy. Epistles now tell us there is tongues, there is prophecy, there is interpretation of tongues, and what? There are other gifts that are found by the Spirit. So, in the book of Acts, you will not see interpretation of tongues spelled out as it. But we know it's interpretation of tongues because we have to visit the book of Acts through the lens of the epistles. Yeah, in the book of Acts, you will not see the word of knowledge, or the statement, or the phrase, word of knowledge, spelled out in scriptures. No, you will not see word of knowledge. You will not see word of wisdom. It's not found in the book of Acts. Yeah, in fact, in the book of Acts, you would only see gifts of the Spirit. Yeah, not gifts. Yeah, that you will pay attention to that, you know, in days to come. So, the word of knowledge or the explanation of the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, they were not found in the book of Acts. We just see visions, basically. Yeah, Peter had vision, Paul had a vision. We'll see tongues and we'll see prophecy. But we know there is more to these three. Why or how? We know them based on the explanation of the epistles or the apostles in the epistles. So, we need to go to the epistles to see the explanations of the descriptions that were stated by Acts or by Luke in the book of Acts. I'll say it again. We need to go to the epistles to see the explanations of the things that were stated in the book of Acts. The descriptive things that Luke made us see in the book of Acts. Yeah, we need to go there or go to the epistles to see them. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians quickly. 1 Corinthians. Look at the book of 1 Corinthians 12. Look at first Corinthians chapter 12. It says, Now concerning spiritual gifts. Yeah, that word there, spiritual, Paul had used it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Go to 1 Corinthians 2, 12 quickly. Remember, we've already said that the word now concerning spiritual, we said the word spiritual is the word, Greek word pneumatikos, and it's got it from two basic words, like we said already, pneuma and tikos. Yeah, pneuma is the word for spirit, so to say. Yeah, then tikos is what the things pertain to spirit. So Paul, in his letter in 1 Corinthians 12, already spoke about the Spirit. Go to 1 Corinthians 12, 2 verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God. We have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So there are things that are freely given to us of God. Yeah, there's a Spirit we have received that Paul already highlighted in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 verse 12. Look at verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. So the believer is spiritual because why? Because he has received the Spirit. So again, the believer is one who is regarded or considered or known to be spiritual. The believer is one who is automatic default, by default, spiritual. Why? Because he has the Spirit in him. He has received the Spirit. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, you know, when he was teaching the Ephesians, you know, I was talking about how we're in whom, after you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of the salvation, you know, also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Yeah, which is the earnest of inheritance until the redemption of that which is purchased, until the praise of his glory. So a man who believes the gospel, when he hears the gospel, trusts the gospel, that is, he believes the gospel, is one who what? Has received the Spirit. He's one who what? Is considered to be spiritual. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6:17. So Paul had already mentioned the fact that a man who believes the gospel has already received the Spirit and is spiritual. So there is no believer that is not spiritual. Yeah, every believer is a spiritual being. You are now a spiritual. Why? Because you've been born of the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. So we've seen 1 Corinthians 2, which is ideally before 1 Corinthians 12. Yeah, which we are now in 1 Corinthians 6. Yeah, look at verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord, yeah, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Look at verse 19. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Yeah, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price, glory to God. So any man who believes the gospel is one who is bought with a price. Yeah? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So Paul, in chapter 12, was beginning to explain the things pertaining to the spirit they already have. He told them, he says what? You are born of the Spirit. He told them, he said what? You are full of the Spirit. He told them, he said what? You are the house of the Spirit. He told them, he says, you are born with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Yeah, in fact, go back to chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. Let's see something important. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. So that ye come behind in no gifts. Let's read verse 4. Yeah, look at verse 4. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf. For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. What is he thanking God for? Verse 5, that in everything ye are enriched by him. Yeah, so the church was enriched by him. He says, for by in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. So the church, that is the church in Corinth, was enriched in all utterance. Are we together? They were enriched in all utterance. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now, what was Paul correcting in 1 Corinthians 12? Or what was he explaining? That you will not be ignorant. So it means that you being enriched or you being full of the Spirit does not mean that you will not be ignorant. Does not mean that you will not subconsciously shun knowledge. Yeah, so you remember in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1, what did he say? He says that what? He says that, wherefore I give unto you understanding. Yeah, so look at verse 5 again. He says that in everything you were enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Yeah, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Look at verse 7. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it means that the Corinthian church, they were not behind in any spiritual gift. They had all the gifts in operation in the church. Yeah. But Paul now doctrinally explains or teaches concerning those gifts. Are we together? So go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning the spirit. So when you see Paul now say now concerning spiritual gifts, he's just trying to talk about the spirit he has already highlighted in chapter 2 and chapter 6 that already dwells on the believer. So it means that the cure to ignorance is knowledge. How do we know? He says, wherefore in verse 3, I give to you to understand. So the believer must not and cannot afford to be in the dark concerning what? Understanding. What you say? Knowledge. Altogether. So, what? See something quickly. Go to chapter 14, verse 16. Chapter 14, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 16. See something quickly there. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupied the room of the unlearned say amen? You see, the word unlearned is the Greek word idiotis. That's what you call idiots. Yeah? The word unlearned is the Greek word you call idiotis. Idiotis is a word that means to be untaught, unschooled, or uninformed. So, else, when, look at 16. Let's read in context. Yeah, what is it then? Look at verse 14. If I pray in an unknown tongues, there you see unknown. The word there unknown is actually not going to be in the original in the Greek manuscript. It will be in italics in your translation. Yeah. So what word do you suppose we replace with unknown? It will be what? Kyrios and what? Heteros. Yeah, what is that? New or other tongue? So, for verse 14, for if I pray in other tongues, my spirit prayeth. So, when a man prays in other tongues, his spirit prayeth. That's what he says, what? As the spirit gives utterance. But my understanding, my mind is unfruitful. You see that? You see that? Anything that makes you say it is tongues, and somebody can that is not born again, can know or hear what you are saying. We should check it well. It's most likely a modified what? In a modified language. Yeah. Paul tells you, when you pray in new tongues, your spirit prayed, but your understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit, as I'll pray in tongues, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So there's something called praying in tongues and singing in tongues. So praying with the spirit is what he told us in verse 14 to be, if I pray in an unknown tongue. Yeah, so if I pray in an unknown tongue in verse 14 is equal to I will pray in the spirit in verse 16, which is equal in verse 15, which is equal to what, or which can be what, or by extension, I will sing in the spirit. So I will sing with the spirit is equal to, or I will pray in the spirit, or it's equal to I will sing in tongues. I will sing in the spirit, and I will sing in my understanding also. Why do you suppose there's singing in spirit and singing in understanding? Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that is that occupied the room of the unlearned? What is that? Paul is trying to teach that when you come together as saints, there are some people who might be unlearned, that is uninformed, untaught, unschooled, concerning the things of the spirit. How can they say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? So how would they respond or communicate or feel part of the service if there is no interpretation? So if you look at verse 23, or look at verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. What is thou verily giveth thanks well? It means that when you pray or sing in tongues, you give thanks well, although the other brethren, other people around you might not be edified. Yeah, so the saint doesn't sing, if I have 10 million tongues, they still will be enough. No, rather than complain about what you don't have, that you will never have, why don't you just pay your attention and dwell on that which you already have? Yeah, which is what? Praying in the spirit. Look at what Paul says in verse 18. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you. So you don't need to come and cry and say, well, if I have 10, you know, Lord, there's no. The same way when you want, imagine you want to pray in English, yeah? And you want to pray for 3 hours, and after your first 20 minutes, you're out of words. What do? You switch to tongues, that which is of the new creature. Yeah? So you don't begin to complain for the main 2 hours, 30 minutes, and say, God, you know, I don't have more tongues to say. God, just hear my heart. God sees my heart. God just sees my heart. No. Paul doesn't teach that you pray in your heart. Yeah, prayer is an action that deals with the verbal, you know, attribute of humans. Yeah, so something you pray out. Yeah, so you don't complain that you don't have 10,000 tongues. You know, God, you know, I don't have so many tongues and so many words to you. What do? You speak to tongues. What do you do in reference to Thanksgiving? What do you do? Oh, we're doing Thanksgiving. You know, yeah, we know, Lord, we don't have so many tongues, but God just hear our heart. No, Paul says what? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Look at verse 19 to show you what Paul is really teaching. Yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding. Yeah, he's not saying I will only speak, I will rather. Why? So when you say rather, it means that there's another alternative. So I will rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in what? New tongues. Yeah, he's teaching about the coming together as saints. Verse 20. He says, brethren, be not children in your understanding. Howbeit, in malice be you children, but your understanding be men. Look at verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together, you see, he's teaching about what? Saints, the local church coming together to fellowship. If therefore the whole church be come together, the whole church coming together, there will be a local assembly, not a universal church. Yeah, you see, there's a difference between a universal church and a local church. Yeah, the universal church is everyone who is born of the Spirit is a member of the body of Christ. Who is born, no matter if you believe in tongues or don't believe in tongues, you are a member of the universal church. Yeah, but there's something called a local church where you meet every now and then to grow in your understanding concerning that which God has done concerning the universal church. Yeah, so if therefore the whole church, it will mean the local church, not the whole church in the whole world come together. No, if the local church at Corinth come together into one place and all shall speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned. Who are those that are unlearned? Idiotes. Those who are uninformed or those who are untaught or those who are unschooled. Yeah, he tells you, if there come in those who are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say, are these people not mad? Yeah, in Acts 2, what do we see? What means this? What are they saying? Look at verse 24. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. Word of knowledge. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, revelation gifts. Yeah, so by this you see by extension that tongues is fundamental to the remaining. okay, yeah, look at 24 again. But if all prophesy, yeah, and there come in one that believeth not, what is one idiot is, one who is unlearned, unschooled, untaught. Yeah, remember in verse 16, he already told us that the unlearned, that is the uninformed, untaught, cannot say amen. Verse 24 say, because they cannot say amen, will they not say you are mad? Verse 23. Verse 25, look at 25 again. And thus the secret, yeah, the secret of his heart made manifest, and so falling down. How do you suppose one who believeth not or one who is unlearned would actually fall down to the face and worship God? It is because what? Tongues has been interpreted, yeah, to his language, and he now understands. Dear saints, remember that word I taught us over the weekend. Yeah, what is the word interpretation? Expounded. It's the same word expounded that Jesus used in Luke 24. We'll get there. Yeah, diamenio. Yeah, which actually has to do with saying what is said in one, into, or translating into one's native language. That's what we call interpretation of tongues. So the reason why he will come to church and he sees that the secret of his heart is made manifest. See, he doesn't know the secret of his heart from the tongues they spoke, but rather he knows it from the prophecy that has been said. Yeah, but if all prophesy, let's say a mini believers meeting, and there come one that believeth not an unbeliever, or one that is unlearned, an idiot, and untaught, and unschooled, he is convinced. And what will he do? By so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. You see what of knowledge? See what of knowledge? Yeah, look at it. When church, one comes in who is unlearned or an unbeliever, and by speaking in tongues, he is lost. He doesn't know when to communicate or say amen. What will run through his mind is, this one's not mad. So what do you do? You interpret it, that is the Emmanuel. You bring it into a language that he can relate to. And by doing that, you are exposing the secret of his heart. Yeah, and by him now being able to communicate with the secret of his heart you've exposed, he now falls down and worships God, and he says that God is of a truth in you. So he knows that God is in you by the expression you give to God in you. Yeah, let me say better. He knows that God is in you by the expressions you've allowed God to have through you. That is what tongues and interpretation. So means that he's convinced by the, or convinced from the spectacular. So that which amazes him. Yeah, for tongues, he can go. An unbeliever or an unlearned person concerning tongues can hear tongues and get away with saying they are saying nonsense. Yeah, he cannot relate. Don't blame him. Yeah, what do you do for him to relate? You interpret the tongues in a language he will understand. By interpreting this tongue that he now understands, you will now realize that what he has gotten, what a communication from what you were saying. So from tongues that sounded like nonsense to him, you've now brought the secret of his heart out. And he says that, of a truth, God is in you. So the spectacular is a way to convince the unlearned. Yeah, and he says that of a truth, God is in you. God is in you. See verse 26, there say it, oh my goodness, we'll get there soon. How is it then, brethren? When you come together, every one of you have a psalm. Every one of you have a psalm. Everyone had a doctrine. Everyone had a tongue. Everyone had a revelation. Everyone had an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. So the only way you edify that man who is an idiotist, that is an unbeliever or an unlearned person, is because you translated your tongues to interpretation. Yeah, either by psalms, either by doctrine, either by interpretation. Yeah, words. Yeah, or by word of knowledge and all of those things. So the unlearned will not appreciate the activities of the Spirit, Yeah, they behave like men who don't have the spirit. So it means that in a church, you can have both the unbeliever and unlearned. The unbeliever is one who comes to church, for instance, for the first time and just tries it, but he has not believed the gospel in his heart. And there's one who has already believed the gospel in his heart, but he is unlearned. And he asks this question, what means this? We have an example like that in Acts 2. We'll go back there. So what is the essence? What is the end goal? Look at verse 3 of chapter 14. That same chapter 14. Look at verse 3. Look at let's even see verse 1. You know, in chapter 13, he spoke about how love is fundamental to all these things. And if you have no love, you speak jargons and you sound like you sound like a noisy samurai and all those things. Yeah, in Acts 1 Corinthians 13. You know, and you know, in chapter 13, maybe we might go into it where Paul was saying, "For we know in parts, we know in parts and prophesy in parts," and really, he was just teaching that which is done without love as a foundation, yeah, is parts, yeah. But when he grows, that is when he becomes full, yeah. Over time, Paul grew in knowledge, yeah. So he started mixing his flow of the things of the Spirit, having love as the fundamental thing. That's why it says in verse 1 of chapter 13, what I'm just saying now in like 3 minutes is actually supposed to take a long time. Yeah, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity. So it means that love must be mixed with every gift of the Spirit, and when you are giving expression to them. Yeah, so when he said, when I was a child, I speak as a child and I still as a child. Yeah, for we know in part, what he was really teaching about is that when you prophesy or give an utterance for edification, without love being the fundamental, you've not solely tapped into the fullness of the things of the Spirit. And the only way to tap into it is by making love the foundation of every manifestation you give. What I did right now is a lot. Yeah, so look at verse 13 of chapter 13. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now flow into chapter 14. Follow after charity. You already told me the greatest is charity. Yeah, follow after charity and desire spirituals, but rather that ye may prophesy. Yeah, for he that speaketh in tongues, yeah, the word unknown is in italics. So he that speaketh with the new tongues speaketh not unto men. You see what I told you? We don't see the explanation of who we are speaking to in Acts. Paul in the epistles now teaches us. He says, he that speaketh in unknown tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mystery. Yeah, mystery will just be that which is to be explained. Yeah, yeah. But he that prophesied, so it is from 1 Corinthians 14, we know that when they prophesied in Acts chapter 19, verse 6, it was tongues and interpretation. Yeah, but how do you know? Paul tells you when you speak in tongues, man doesn't have an understanding. Yeah, but when you speak in interpret it, verse 3, but he that prophesied speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Verse 4, he that speaketh in tongues edifieth himself, but he that prophesied edifieth the church. You see, how do we know? How do you know that when you prophesy, you edify the church? He gave an example in verse 25. The unlearned, the unbelievers, when they come, they receive edification by you exposing the secret of their heart in their language. If you are the man in tongues, they will not communicate with what you are saying at all. So he that speaketh in tongues edified himself. Jude 20 says, build up yourself in the most holy faith by praying the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but he that prophesied edified the church. I would that ye speak in tongues. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesied. So tongues is fundamental, is basic, is fundamental and foundational to other expression of the Spirit. For greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. Why? So that the church may receive edifying. Are we together? See, Paul prayed in tongues more than interpreted. In case you don't know, jump to verse. Look at verse 18. Yeah, so see, if you don't read in context, you would think that Paul is saying use English more than. So look at verse 18. Paul tells you, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. But yet in the church, I had rather speak 5. So it means that if Paul wasn't in the church, you would catch him speaking in tongues than speaking in English. Rather, he wasn't speaking English, than speaking in normal language or interpreting his tongues. So when you see verse 5, I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesied. He's not saying that if you speak in English or you speak in your translation, no. He's just trying to say that the church may receive edification. Look at verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by doctrine. Oh, glory to God. Let's look at that on Sunday. Look at the stuff. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifier of the church. Yeah? Look at verse 26. He says, how is it then, brethren, when ye come together? Yeah? So, when you come together, so when you are not together, you will catch Paul speaking in tongues more than in his native language at the time. He said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than ye all. Look at verse 31. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn. Can you see? How do we know that prophecy is about interpretation? It's so that what? All may learn and all may be comforted. He now tells them the spirit of the prophet and subject to the prophet, for God is not a lot of confusion, but of peace, and in all the churches, you know, let the women keep silence in the church, and you know, that word there, silence, is not a word that means what we make it look. Okay, we'll pay attention to that maybe on Sunday. So, from 1 Corinthians 12, go back to 12 verse 1. 12 verse 1 is a lot I want to teach about tongues. God help me. So, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1. Now, concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So, Paul did not want the believers to be ignorant or to be in the dark concerning teachings and learning about the things of the Spirit, so they can be effective and participate to edify others when they come together. Are we together? So, now, look at verse 4 again. Now, there are diversities of gifts. Yeah? The same word diversity is the same word difference. We looked at that already. Yeah, the word there, gifts, now, in verse 4, is a word that deals with what is the Greek word charisma. I'll help us with that. Yeah, the Greek word gifts is the word there, gifts, in verse 4, where you see diversity of gifts, yeah, is the Greek word charisma. And it's a word that implies a supernatural faculty or a supernatural ability. Yeah, or an endowment that comes with birth. I'm sure it'll make sense now. You remember what we said about tongues? Tongues is something that comes by default upon being a new creature. Tongues is something that comes by default that is distinguished to the man who believes the gospel. Yet he that believes, this sign shall follow. They shall cast out demons and shall speak in tongues. So tongues is part of the gift that you've received upon a new birth. That gift is not something that you grow over and become, or it's something that it's actually a faculty that you've received, an ability you've received, an endowment that comes with birth. So all endowments, all varieties of the Spirit, they are in the spirit of the believer. That's why I told you in verse 7, the manifestation, all manifestation of the Spirit is given to every believer to profit without. Are we together? Yeah, the word the manifestation in verse 7 is the word that means full disclosure. Yeah, full disclosure. Yeah, so, but the full disclosure of the things of the Spirit is what? Or the full disclosure of the Spirit is given to every believer to profit with her. Are we together? I hope we are together. So, if all diversities are of the Spirit, then the diversity of the Spirit is in the believer. Let's say it better again. If all diversities are of the Spirit, then the diversity of the Spirit is in the believer. So, he now listed diversities. So, if Paul refers to them as charisma, that's gifts, yeah, so gifts, they are endowments, like we said, of the Spirit that the man, or the new Spirit, or the Spirit of God that a believer receives upon salvation. Are we together? I hope we are following. Hallelujah. So, look at verse 12 again. We'll continue tongues on Sunday. Yeah, look at verse 12 again. Verse 10. So, remember we said something. For to one from verse 8 speaks about certainly or indeed. Yeah, so even now saying in verse 10, he now says to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues. The word there, diverse, if you are using your paper Bible, you see is in italics. Or if you check your Greek manuscripts, you realize that the word there, diverse, doesn't have a Greek translation. Yeah, so to another the discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues. The word diverse is not before it, but it is to another kinds of tongues. Yeah, so people think that, you know, there's tongues for worship, there's tongues for war, there's tongues for angels. Yeah, tongues for worship is what, then tongues for war is, not really. Yeah, so that diverse is not in the original manuscript. Now, let's pay attention to kinds of tongues. Yeah, the word there, kinds, is the Greek word genos. Genos, G-E-N-E-S. Yeah, genos. And it's a word that describes a family, a tribe, a nation, or a kindred. Yeah, to another is diverse, or remember, we remove diverse kinds of tongues. So that word there, genos, is a word that describes what? Family, a tribe, a nation, or a kindred. Say it again. The word there, tongue, is the Greek word genos. Describes family, tribe, nation, or kindred. The word here, tongues, is the word glossa. We said that earlier in today's teaching already. Yeah, it refers to a language not naturally acquired or learned. Remember, we said it's not something that evolves over time. So, it is a language used by particular people distinct from others. Yeah, who are the particular people distinct from others? Marxism tells you it is for those who believe. It is distinct to them who believe. It is distinct to them who believe. It is distinct to them who believe. So when it says kinds of tongues, is genius of what? Glossa. Yeah, that is a unique particular kind of tongues, unique and distinct to a group of people. All together. Yeah, so go back to Mark 16. Let's end Mark 16 for today. Look at Mark 16 quickly. Look at Mark 16. Or in fact, go back to 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Let's end in 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 14 rather, verse 2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongues. Now, that unknown tongues, Mark calls it what? Kairos. What is Kairos? New tongues. Kainos rather. What is Kainos? New tongues. What is Eteros? Other tongues. What did they call it here? Unknown tongues. Yeah, if you look at that word there in verse 2, unknown, yeah, look at it again. Let's read it on layman before I correct it. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh ministry, in mystery rather. Yeah, so he speaks unto God, not men. So when a man believer speaks in tongues, he doesn't speak to men. It is when he interprets his tongues that he speaks to men. So human mind cannot comprehend tongues from a believer. Are we together? Yeah. But the Spirit of God can give discerning or give an interpretation to a tongue already said. Yeah. So the same Spirit responsible for the tongue is the same Spirit responsible for the interpretation. In that verse 2, the words unknown are him. You see the word there, unknown, and him, they are in italics. So what is not understood is the tongues uttered, not him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah, so look at it. But unto God, for no man understandeth the tongues. Not no man understanding, in as much as no man understanding him. But if you look at that context very well, it is attention is on the tongues. So better use it as it. So for he that speaketh in tongues, speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth it. Yeah, but the believer is in a conversation with God. He told you already, he that speaketh in tongues speaketh to God. So a man that speaks in tongues is already in an already established conversation with deity. So speaking in tongues is an activity in the spirit, by the spirit, of the spirit, from the spirit, in the spirit, by the spirit, from the spirit, of the spirit, in the spirit, by the spirit, of the spirit, from the spirit. So speaking in tongues is an activity of the spirit whereby the believer communicates in a language to God. And because God wants to communicate back to mankind, he begins to what? Interpret it. Look at verse 14 of that same chapter, verse 14. For I pray in an if I pray in tongues, my spirit prayeth. It means that I'm in communion with God. Your understanding is unfruitful. It cannot comprehend it. Your mind. So in fact, tongues are interpretation. Let me say this. I will help us on Sunday with this. Tongues are interpretation. So when you speak in tongues, you that you are speaking in tongues, that tongue you are speaking is unfruitful to your own mind. What can make that tongue fruitful is when you interpret it for your mind to understand it. So you interpret it in a language you already know. That is the Emmanuel. Are we together? What is it then? When I pray in the Spirit, I'll pray in the Spirit, I'll pray in my understanding also. Yeah? I'll sing in the Spirit, I'll sing in my understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall thee that compare the room of the unlearned? You know, learn. For verily thou givest thanks well, but others are not edified. So, when you are praying, and you are praying in the Spirit, so, when you are praying in the Spirit, you are communicating with God. You are in direct communion with God. So, there's a praying in the Spirit, there's singing in the Spirit, which is praying. So, praying in tongues is equal to praying in the Spirit. Singing in tongues is equal to singing in the Spirit. So, when you see, I will sing with the Spirit, is I will sing in tongues. What is singing with tongues? The same tongues you'll be speaking, add melody to it. Hallelujah. Go back to verse 4. Let's end in verse 4. He that speaketh in tongues edifieth himself, but he that prophesied edifieth the church. The word there edifies is the word oikadomio. It's a word that means to build up or strengthen or to embolden. Yeah, to build up or to strengthen up or to embolden. Yeah, oikadomio. O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E-O. 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 Oikodomio. Yeah, it means to build. It means to strengthen. It means to embolden. Yeah, so he that speaketh in tongues emboldens himself, glory to God. Strengthens himself, glory to God. Builds up himself, glory to God. But he that prophesies edifies the church. What does it mean? He builds up the church. He builds up the church. He strengthens the church. He supplies strength to the church. Yeah, that word ekodomo is a word that, you know, deals with building a house or to erect a building. Yeah, you can use it metaphorically for it to establish or to promote growth. Hallelujah. So he that edifies, or he, so how do you edify the church? By prophesying, which is what? That is what? Tongues and interpretation. Hallelujah. Tongues and interpretation. Tongues and interpretation. That's why Paul now tells you in Jude chapter 1 verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourself in the most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. So, praying in the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 15, 16, 17 is equal to praying in the Holy Ghost of Jude chapter 1 verse 20. And is equal to what? Speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2. And is equal to what? Speaking with other tongues in Acts chapter 2 verse 4. And equal to what? Speaking with new tongues in Mark 16 verse 17. Dear saints, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I hope you've been able to learn one or two things. We'll pay attention to tongues a little on Sunday and interpretation of tongues. Yeah, so, you know, I will doctrinally explain interpretation of tongues and how, you know, we can explain them from the Old Testament books. You know, like we said, we say over and over, you know, all the apostles had to teach what they taught in the epistles was only what you call the Old Testament books. I said that there's nowhere in the Bible where the Old Testament books are called Old Testament books. Yeah, but really that the Word of God, all Jesus had to teach was the Bible scriptures. Yeah. All the apostles had was scriptures. So it means that we can teach tongues and interpretation from Genesis to Malachi alone. Apparently, that was all Paul used to teach it. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I hope you've learned a few things. Reach out to me with questions as much as possible. And I hope that if you were not speaking in tongues before this meeting, we've opened up your understanding to be able to speak in tongues. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Just will it. Just pray in the Holy Ghost and you shall realize that it is a distinct faculty you've received upon believing the gospel. And when you do that, you embolden yourself, you strengthen yourself, you edify yourself, you build up yourself. Must like come your way again. I love you all. I love you all. I love you all dearly. Have a lovely night. Rest. Cheers.